Greetings and salutations, everyone. My name is Johnny Mutta. I'm your host of this show that I call AV Insider. And I've been known to know a thing or two about a thing or two. When I don't know, I typically ask the professionals at the manufacturer side so that I can know maybe three things. Today, I actually have a guest at QSC, but before I have them on, as always, I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show and Rave Radio in general because they kind of keep us chugging along out here, wherever we are in this Northern California cloud. That's Ingram Micro. If you haven't heard their name on the show before, I probably messed up, but if you go back and listen to some previous shows, you would know that some of my previous guests are actually part of Ingram Micro's site. I'm not going to tell you who they are. You probably should just go to ingrammicro.com, and you can also listen to some of my previous shows and find out that they're at ingrammicro.com. They're the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. Head over to ingrammicro.com. Drop my name. Actually, don't drop my name. You'll probably get a better discount otherwise. Check them out. And yeah, tell them I said hi. As I mentioned, I have QSC on the show. I have TJ Adams, actually. TJ is the install DSP manager, or as I like to say, the next CEO of QSC Systems. TJ, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny, for having me on tonight.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You guys are doing a little bit, you guys are doing actually something different that I don't think anyone's doing. But before we even talk about that, tell us, a little bit about your background in the industry and where are you coming from these days? What's going on?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So I started out on the IT side of things, actually. I was... It's funny, we talk right now about, in our industry, a lot of the AV-IT convergence, mm-hmm. and the crazy thing is that's been talked about for the last 10-plus years, it seems, and, you know, I was one of those oddball IT guys that actually really liked AV and, you know, decided I really wanted to make a career not on the IT side, but really kind of leverage those skills I had on the AV side. So that's worked out really well for me. Worked for companies like Biamp Systems, great company,
sweet.
Great products, and had a lot of good experiences there, and decided to come over to QSC about 2 years ago now, just under 2 years by a few months, and you know, I was really attracted to QSC just because of some of the products and really the design philosophy, and I'll get into that a little later with you, but I think we're doing some really neat stuff that really... I guess I was the first believer, if you will, from the IT side. I just really, really loved AV and really wanted to, you know, be passionate about, you know, bringing those two channels or industries together. So that's why I'm here at QSC.
Yeah, man, it always starts with one person. And actually, first of all, I should probably say happy almost work birthday. I hope they give you lots of free audio gear as a sweet present if you don't have any already.
Yeah, I got plenty of amps and speakers my poor wife has to put up with them. She'd be happy about me bringing any more home.
Well, if you don't want any of it, you're welcome to send it out my way. We're not that much farther from where you are.
Oh, sure. I got a spare set of K-Series speakers in my garage. You can have.
I'll take them. okay, now, there's a little bit of your background. Loves audio. Loves to share some with Johnny when he doesn't have to get rid of it because his wife doesn't want it. Who is QSC? And what do they do? What do they offer exactly? I think I on accident said QSC Audio, but in fact you guys are QSC Systems, correct?
That's right. Well, our actual company brand, you know, the top level brand is QSC Audio Products LLC. That's the official name of our company. But you know, over the years, QSC has really evolved and frankly reinvented itself several times. You know, some of the history there, you know, it's been over 40 years ago that Pat Quilter, John Andrews, and Barry Andrews started the company, and obviously long before our time in this business. Started out, you know, with meager and small beginnings, doing guitar amp stuff, and then later moving into high-powered amplifiers in the 80s and 90s, and then to a lot of install products, and that was sort of it for a while, right? And then, you know, early 2000s, if I recall, they decided to do something really crazy and wacky and start making speakers, you know, and I wasn't, again, here for that portion of our history, but I've been told that, you know, people thought we were a bit nuts for deciding to make, you know, who needed another speaker manufacturer in the world, you know?
I do.
so, you know, so we've really grown, and, you know, we most folks don't know, they think of us as a amplifier company, but, you know, we're actually a very large speaker manufacturer, and we still manufacture a lot of the speakers in the U.S. in Costa Mesa. So, you know, we've had a lot of success with the K-Series on our pro side of our business, and there's probably something to mention there is that, you know, we've changed our business model a little bit, even in the last 18 months or so. We actually split up the company underneath that main moniker, QSC Audio Products, under three major brands or three major business units, actually. So we have our install business, which is what I'm in, and which is the QSC Systems portion of our business, which that's all our commercial contracting and installed products, speakers, amps, and DSP. And then we have our pro side, and those guys, they sell into like Guitar Center, Sweetwater, even down the street at your local music shop, and they're all dealers, you know, selling K-Series and TouchMix and all of those, you know, musical instrument MI products. And then the last segment is our cinema business. And again, I think most people don't see all this because it's sort of under the covers, but we are in a vast majority of cinemas around the world, especially here in the U.S. So if you've sat in any modern cinema, like a Regal or what have you, you're listening to most likely a QSC amplifier and speaker and DSP system. So that's sort of a little fly around the world, our world anyway.
That's cool. Let's make a list of all the theaters that you guys are in, starting from A to Z, if you could.
Oh, nope.
We're not doing that? Okay.
Nope. I work on the DSP side of that. They do sell QSIS into those, but I don't see the list.
Okay. Okay. Speaking of DSP, what does DSP mean? Break it down for me, if you will. What is, first, yeah, in its most basic, what is a DSP?
Well, DSP is probably one of the most forgotten or overlooked parts of a system that you see installed in any facility. So, you know, you see DSP even down in a generic sense in your phone. Your cell phone has digital signal processing in it. Everything from Bluetooth headphones to, you know, your car stereo even today has a fair amount of digital signal processing capability. And the real goal of that is to take, you know, the analog domain, convert it into digital, and then be able to manipulate that signal in the digital domain where you don't have lossy interconnects between, let's say in the old days, you'd have a separate equalizer, a separate compressor, a separate mixer, auto mixer. And you'd have to cable all that together in the analog domain. So a lot of soldering and wiring. So DSP really revolutionized, probably that's pushing 20 years ago now, that whole install world where you can go into any facility type, whether it's a tiny little boardroom or meeting room, all the way up to a convention center, airport, or any large facility that you need to do a lot of routing and mixing and speaker processing. So, you know, adjusting crossovers and equalization for room acoustics and speaker acoustics. So that DSP is basically an audio computer. It has specialized algorithms that allow you to manipulate the sound in the digital domain. And the benefit to the user, of course, is no signal-to-noise loss, no pops and clicks, you know, better integrity, and most importantly, it saves you a lot of time as an installer to be able to essentially draw a picture, almost like a CAD drawing of your design of your audio solution, your routing of all your signal, in a computer program. So that's essentially the top level of digital signal processing.
All right, now slow it down a little bit more and repeat everything you just... I'm just kidding. But typically DSPs are hardware based, correct? There's a piece of hardware attached to an amplifier or something like that attached to the system, correct?
Yeah, a good way of thinking about it, you're right. It's most DSPs have a software user interface that you can configure that DSP to do multiple applications, multiple types of projects. But the underlying hardware is nothing more than a DSP. So it doesn't have a lot of other capability or function. It really is a purpose-built box.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's what's the norm out there. And I think, you know, that's where QSC is a little different. And I can get into that now if you'd like, or we can, you know, jump into that a little later. You let me know how you want to proceed with that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, because, well, I liked what you said. You know, it's usually a box, and that box is attached to another box. In this case, the DSP is attached to the amplifier box. Boxes on boxes on boxes on boxes.
Right.
That create some sort of solution, if you will, but that's basically all they are. This amp box is an amplifier. This QSC, yeah, or I mean, sorry, DSP, perhaps from QSC, is purposely just the digital signal processing. And that's all there'll ever be. And a little bit of, you know, control via the software to that. But the hardware, the box itself, will always ever be its one single solution.
That's right. And I, you know, a simple way of saying that, I guess, would be the box is the application. And that's all it'll ever be, like you said. So, and that's where QSC is a little different. And that's actually, frankly, why I came over here and pursued working for the company is in looking at QSC's products, even while I was at the other company, and actually looking at them competitively, I was just blown away. In fact, the story I tell folks is I opened a Core 500 from QSC, and the first thing I saw looking at me was an Intel badge on the fan on a standard Intel motherboard. And beside it, some specialized analog audio boards. But really, it was an audio computer. And that's something that I think resonated with me coming from the IT world. I always had it kind of itching in the back of my mind, like, why can't we do signal processing on a computer? And in fact, in an old company even before BiAmp I worked at, we dabbled a little bit with doing some basic DSP functions on a standard server PC. It didn't really amount to much back then. I mean, frankly, the hardware wasn't where it could really go anywhere back then. This would have been almost 15 years ago. But now, obviously, we have such powerful computers. And so why not use that as a off-the-shelf hardware platform instead of having to recreate the wheel every time we want to build a new product and have to build from the ground up that purpose-built DSP hardware, when we can just buy another Intel motherboard from one of our suppliers that make commercial high reliability motherboards. So that's the shift. And again, DSP is a tiny fragment of our industry. Most people kind of overlook it, and it's not exactly earth-shattering. But for me, in my slice of the world, DSP is changing, and this is revolutionary. So it's kind of a quiet revolution. And I'm really happy and excited to be a part of that at the front of that with QSC. I think it's going to change the shape of how we do things in our industry, at least in the audio domain.
So let's actually take a look at that. Now, you said you came over to QSC 2 years ago, roughly? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Okay. That's right.
And at that point in time, this new DSP, if you will, from QSC, is primarily what caught your attention. Is that correct?
That's right. It already existed in much larger formats. So another thing I didn't mention when you were asking me about what DSP was and how it worked in a install, I didn't mention the fact that there are very large venues that require very large DSP capabilities. And that's where QSC started, quite frankly. It started out with what we call our enterprise cores, and those were released in 2009. So that's what I mean. It's kind of a quiet revolution. That software-based DSP platform was started back in 08 and 09. It just so happens that I happened to come to work here and help develop the Core 110, which is our first small format DSP. That really makes a lot more sense financially for a small boardroom or a theme park attraction or a ride, or it's a multi-purpose DSP, but it's a lot less expensive than our original stuff was back in 08 and 09.
What? You guys are losing money?
I don't know about that. We were actually cleaning up in the install space for like themed entertainment. Like, you know, a lot, we have some very large customers that do theme parks and rides and attractions. In fact, I visited some of those folks down in Orlando, and I'll leave it at that, when I was down there just this week. And, you know, it's amazing to see what you can do, with all that processing capability in that big install space. And I'm actually still learning some of that, quite frankly. I'm still learning the large, you know, convention center spaces and theme parks and all of that. I'm more familiar with DSP in the smaller spaces like boardrooms. And that's primarily why I came over here, is to help QSC get into the meeting room space.
Because maybe that's not had primarily been where they've been focused on, or
A little of both. Like I mentioned, the hardware was actually starting out very large, right? So we had, you know, thousands of networked audio channels and massive amounts of DSP horsepower to do, you know, anything from like the Bronco Stadium, for instance, that we are installed in, or, you know, a theme park ride at one of our unnamed big customers that uses us a lot. So, you know, that's where we started, but we really couldn't move down back then. And that's sort of the blessing and the curse of being on an off-the-shelf platform, is that you do have to wait in some cases for the hardware to catch up to you where you'd like to go with it. And in this case, we wanted to go down market. And I mean that not in value, but in smaller applications. And so with the advent of some of the Atom processing from Intel and the cost being right, it made more sense. So it's kind of the perfect alignment, if you will, of where we hope to have gone and where the hardware and technology met us. And so that's why we have the 110 today at the price point we'll be selling it at. Very, very inexpensive, but still very powerful processor.
So we basically can all thank you directly because of that.
Well, I can't take all the credit, that's for sure.
I'll take some of it if you don't want it.
But the Core 110 is my baby, that's for sure. I'm very excited to see that product out in the market space.
Okay, then let's talk a little bit about that product itself. I mean, you mentioned a little bit about with the... I guess what we should talk a little bit more on is that versus hardware DSP, this is a very specific software-driven DSP, correct?
That's right. So I guess to kind of fill that out a little further for you and the audience, one of the differences that is really cool, at least in my world of being a development manager of a product line, is that each time that we want to come out with a new product, let's say tomorrow I came out with a small 4x4 DSP, I don't have to go to my development team and ask them to create from the ground up any of the hardware boards or have to respin new firmware and rewrite software. The beautiful thing is the very same code base that, you know, the very software that runs on our very largest enterprise core that's running the Bronco Stadium, it's the exact same code base that's running on our even smallest DSP and future DSPs that we generate and develop. And so it really makes us a lot quicker on the innovation cycle and be able to come up with new ideas and then get them to market sooner. And so that software platform, it really is not as tied to hardware as it used to be back in the old days, where you had to build everything from the ground up. So it makes our cycles a lot faster, gets product out to our customers sooner, and allows us to innovate more freely.
Okay, so does that mean that it's possible if I have, you know, your baby, an example, in a few years, there's an update. I mean, that can just be updated via the software?
That's right. It's kind of like we've all gotten used to in our consumer lives. You know, I've likened this platform to telephones, you know, your cell phone.
It
used to be you had to go trade in your phone to get new features back in the tactile button days when you had the flippy phones and all of that, right?
I still have a pager.
That's not anything to admit. Come on, man. But yeah, I mean, I had all that stuff, a StarTAC phone back in the day, you know. And, you know, the latest, it was all hardware driven, you know. So you had to go swap out your hardware. Well, now look at us. You know, yeah, we still all have the itch to get new hardware, and that'll always be there. But quite frankly, you could keep a cell phone for 3 to 5 years probably almost and still get a lot of life out of it just with all these software updates and the apps you can run on it. And that's basically the same concept, right? You know, since this is a computer, basically, we can run apps on it. So a great example I tell is that when the original QSYS product line released back in 2008 and 2009, they didn't have any concept for echo canceling or SIP soft phones for connecting to a telephone system, you know, to do teleconferencing in QSYS. And they decided, gosh, this is a really good opportunity. Let's develop echo canceling and let's develop SIP capabilities, or VoIP capabilities. And they did that all in software. And they added it to the product, and that meant retroactively. So any customer that bought our hardware back, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they suddenly now have the ability to run echo canceling and VoIP or other, frankly, a lot of other features we've added since those days. And they didn't have to go back to the integrator or back to us and buy a card or buy a hardware piece of any kind to make that upgrade. And that's really freeing. And it's a good revenue stream, too, for the integration community, because they can go back to that customer and have a high-touch relationship with that customer and give them options in the future. And it is, you know, we talk about future-proofing in IT a lot, and that's starting to become more of a concept in AV as well. And really, QSYS is a future-proof platform, at least as long as the hardware can last in an install, which is, you know, quite a long while. I mean, it's a hardened platform, good hardware, good motherboards. And so you shouldn't have to do a forklift upgrade to your facility just to get a new feature. And so, again, that's really, you know, we talk about all this techie stuff, but that's the real value point to the customer, right? The end user says, hey, if I want to add echo canceling to my boardroom at some later date, they can, and they don't have to go rip hardware apart or rewire anything.
This is where I want to make a touch to what you just said prior to this last statement. I think, yes, we all kind of have that itch to, you know, to get, you know, the newest hardware and just kind of, you know, maybe geek out and say, you know, I have, you know, brand X or the latest model number from QSC amplifier, whatever that is, because I have that itch myself. Except for the owner of the projects, or, you know, the owner of the buildings who bought that from the integrator, because they don't want to make that kind of investment every so many years if they don't have to.
That's right.
I don't think they have that itch. I think they, you know, they were looking for a solution and hopefully they got it and it was delivered as promised. But now, with this software-based evolution, if you will, they can. And I'm not a big fan of the word future-proof, but that's probably a good explanation or definition of what you are giving that solution, is that it is actually future-proofing them for, you know, I wouldn't say forever, but quite a long time, maybe a few generations.
Yeah.
Where, like you mentioned, in the past, they were removing old equipment and updating to get some new features or for a new solution as time progresses and technology progresses.
Yep, I totally agree. And you know, one of the other design philosophies that we have at QSC with our DSP platforms, and frankly, this across the board, all of our platforms, is, you know, integrators don't always know what they're getting into before they, you know, quote a job or get out even to the job site. You know, one of the stories I've told a lot since I've released the product here is, you know, we talked to a few customers that told us stories about having to rip out competing products and replace them with a different model number from that competitor because they, for instance, didn't have a VoIP connection in the room. So they had to revert back to an old POTS, you know, plain old telephone system connection point in that room. And the problem was is the unit or the model number they bought was only a VoIP model. It didn't have the ability to switch between the two. And so that's a perfect example of what can really kill the profits for an integrator when they're trying to finish a job. And it also puts a huge burden on the end user because now they have to wait for the rooms to be tore up longer, as an example. So it's not just about, you know, that overused term future-proofing. It's also about how do you make it more flexible so that whatever you throw at it, you can do it. And that's where the Core 110, I think, will really shine, in that it's got pretty much anything you could ever imagine. You know, it really is a tiny little box, but it really can do a lot. You know, and in that example of the POTS versus VoIP, the integrator could have easily gone into the software and changed it to POTS and then plugged in the RJ11 port on the back of the box, and then they were done. And that would have saved them, you know, weeks of work, lost revenue, shipping costs, and the end customer having their rooms down longer. So, you know, that's just a little story or a microcosm of what, you know, we're trying to offer and try to solve that pain point for our customers, both the end customer and our integrator.
So I think that you guys are and you specifically with at QSC with this product are offering a solution more than you are than just pushing boxes that most of our industry are. And that's fine, I guess, in one respect, that, you know, we as an industry sell boxes and that's great. but giving someone a box that it has expandable solutions, because it's not just one solution. It sounds like it's actually multiple solutions.
That's right.
And it has flex ports, which we didn't really mention. I mean, kind of did, but that allows them to interchange and not be stuck, like with the hardware based DSP. You know, this is all it's ever going to be.
Right. That's right.
So they can change, and it's not going to give, you know, the person who's buying the solution buyer's remorse in a few years. Oh crap, we're stuck. You know, this box didn't have something that I didn't foresee that we would need. You know, in a year or 6 months or
that's
whatever.
That's right.
It does allow them to expand later as needs change or technology changes. Oh, now we need this solution, and it's pretty much already there.
That's right. You know, the that's another sort of shift that we perform there is, you know, there's been card-based digital signal boxes out there that you have to order from a manufacturer with a specific, you know, I/O ratio, input-output ratio. And with specific cards to do echo canceling, specific cards to do various forms of telephony. But even that's still a pain in the hind end when you have to get out and change those cards around. So we tried to, again, rethink that. That's how I came up with that scheme of the Rethink QSC that we did at Infocom. Was we're trying to really rethink, how does the integrator work? How does the end user expectations changing? Again, as the IT people become more of the end customer and the decision maker, we have to rethink some of what we do in AV as manufacturers. And so, you know, the Core 110 has flexible input-output channels, and that's geeky to us audio nerds, but really it's solving a problem for that integrator and the end customer again. If they need another input or they need another output, they don't have to go buy another card or rip the top off the box and spend hours reworking the card in the back. So, you know, it's not perfect, no product ever is, but it gives you an awful lot of capability in one rack space, for sure.
As when I met you in Infocom, my least favorite place currently in Florida. Infocom's great, by the way, I should probably mention that. It's Florida I didn't care for. You said to me, it's not about the box. And what that struck with me was like, well, what do you mean? You know, like... You know, our industry is all about the box, if you will, whether that's, you know, my amplifier, your amplifier, this media solution, whatever it is, it's usually, you know, this hardware that's specifically about the box for this application. But in the case of, what did you say, the Core 110, is that correct?
That's the name of the product, yep.
The Core 110.
That's our box.
Well, that's your box, but in this case, it's not necessarily about just the box, because what it's giving you, it, like I mentioned earlier, is... solutions plural, because it's not just one specific solution. It's configurable to be multiple solutions and expand for, quote unquote, I said it, future proofing to newer solutions down the road, or not having to change, like you said, you know, go back and specifically get a certain card to change in the field that, you know, probably isn't cheap and never really is. And all that's going to do is kind of upset, and this is another word I don't like using, but end user, because, you know, they paid for the solution and, you know, well, why didn't you mention, you know, in 6 months there was going to be something that I needed or it didn't come with. And, you know, all these questions come up and it's unfortunate, and it just kind of makes people upset. And, you know, okay, now I got to buy new boxes, right?
Right.
Well,
it's an app-based world, right? You know,
yeah.
You remember that old, I forget who was doing the marketing campaign. There's an app for that, right?
That's iPhone.
That was iPhone.
Apple,
okay.
Apple. Well,
I run an Android phone, but I like Apple too. I'm a non-discriminator. I like both. But yeah, I mean, it's an app for that, right? So that's kind of our concept. It's, you know, the Core 110, it is a box, you know, and that's why I was sort of debating that with Corey when we were talking about that. It's like, well, it isn't about the box. You're right. You shouldn't try to sell it on the box's merits. But... it's an appliance, and that's what IT calls things like DSPs, by the way, and that's some of the terminology shift, too, that our industry sort of has to get used to, is things we call things certain things that they don't understand and vice versa. So what we would call it is an audio appliance or an audio processing appliance, and it just happens to run many different apps, and those apps aren't tied to specific hardware bits and pieces. And so that's what I mean, anyway, when I say it's not about the box. It's about the apps. And so we think that way about our phones, right? The phone might be beautiful, Like, I think, by the way, iPhones are way, way sexier than, you know, the Android phones that I've seen. But the apps are what make the phone. That's what we all buy, really. We just don't necessarily consciously think of that in most cases.
It's the platform, and yeah, and what you're getting with that platform, the apps in this case, correct.
The ecosystem.
Correct,
the,
correct.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the iPhone always, I mean, if we're going to talk about the box in this case with mobile devices, they've always pushed everyone else to be better with design. And I think that's one thing that Apple does really well, is they're really good with design.
I agree.
I'm more of an Android person myself. I use it every day. But I also use some Apple products because, I mean, our clients do, you know. You got to use both. And, you know, in the case of with QVC, whether this is more of an Android or iOS app-based in reference, quote-unquote, box, I'll let you make that determination since you're the one who designed it.
Well, we're agnostic to all the those things, frankly. Currently, we don't have an Android app yet, although we're working on it. I know,
TJ, come on, man. I know a guy over at QC that could probably make that happen.
Well, you know, I'm an Android fan, so I got to get that worked out.
Let's talk about what apps you do have.
Well, you know, QSC does have touchscreen control devices, and those can be multipurpose. They can be used in a boardroom table. In fact, that's another product that we announced at Infocom was a tabletop, TSE7 tabletop, and that is a purpose-built touchscreen for dialing applications or control in a boardroom or managing third-party devices like, you know, turning your lights on and off or turning the projector on and off, basic things. You know, we're not a replacement directly for Crestron or AMX, but if you're doing basic things, we have apps for that.
Well, not with
right?
that attitude.
Nah. Well, hey, you know, we're friends with Crestron and AMX, and we work together with those guys, but we also have our own control solutions. And, you know, the UCI is what we call our end-user GUI, our graphical user interface. And so a UCI can be targeted in our design software, and you can design it one time. So you can drop in buttons and, you know, knobs and, you know, meters and faders and all of that to give the end user a easier way of controlling the system, including the audio portion of that system. But then you can point it, and that's what we call targeting, at different devices. So we have everything from the iPhone 4 on up to the current 6 and 6 Plus that you can retarget the very same design you've done for our own panel and target it towards those other devices. And that, again, we're saving time for the integrator. So they don't have to retool each piece of it. So we can run on an iPhone off a wireless connection and control that whole room, or you can walk right up to the boardroom TSE7 tabletop dialer and see the exact same user experience, and the integrator didn't have to spend twice as long developing it for both targets.
Now, do you teach designing? Because it sounds like you're given the control of the UI portion, whether that's mobile or your touchscreen. Does QSC offer some sort of classes or something like that for interface design, or is it just like preset, you know, GUIs and such that you can kind of modify?
Well, we do a little both, actually. So up to this point, we haven't had any predefined GUIs, or what we call UCIs. But on the shipping of the TSC7 product line, we will have CAN dialers and some basic audio control functions that ship essentially already programmed. And those programs can be, you know, decompiled and recreated in the likeness that the integrator or the end user is driving. So you want a pink button instead of a purple one, go in and change it. So that is one element of it. But we also have our level 1 and level 2 certification courseware that teach you as a user of our software tools how to develop those user experiences. And so it is definitely up to the creativity of the integrator and partnering with their client. But we teach you everything you need to know about how to properly use our system and get the best benefit out of it.
And is that something that they can just find on the website, or how? What's the best way to follow
it
through with
that? You can go out to qsctraining.com or go to our main site, qsc.com, and look for the training link. And it will give you our level 1 courseware is all videos, and they're fragmented up very nicely, so they're only a few minutes long each section. But you can come out at the end with a level one certification that you can put on your business card or go approach a client with and give them certainty that you know what you're doing. And then if you want to advance beyond that, you can get your level two certification. And that currently is available at certain dates and times in Costa Mesa. So we bring you out to the factory. We really go in depth. You have hardware in front of you and the software in front of you. And you really get a really hands-on approach to how to program and design systems. And we're also currently doing our road show. And so we've hit about, I think, 8 different major cities. The next one's going to be in New York in August. And you don't have to be from that area. You can fly into that location from any part of the country and get trained at a more intimate setting, in usually a ballroom in like a large convention center or a hotel, where we take you through and we give you the hardware and the software, and it's the same training you would get at the factory.
No,
but it brings it closer to you.
And I'm assuming that that's only open to your dealers, correct?
That's right, or potential dealers.
Okay.
And so I'd encourage you, to, if anyone's listening to this and they're like, God, this is really cool stuff, get out to our website. We have a rep locator, and we have the means for you to find someone in your area that can put you in touch with our regional sales directors to get a one-on-one discussion going with how to become a dealer for QSC and all of these great new products we have.
So anyone listening, head over to qsctraining.com, and if you want to learn more or you want to get educated on any and all of the stuff we've just talked about, you can find the best way to do it there. It's qsctraining.com. Hey, I should ask TJ a dumb question. What does QSC stand for?
The Quilter Sound Company. So another little bit nod to our history there. It's Pat Quilter, really, really neat guy, who had the vision to build amplifiers, and he really started out almost in a garage, working on guitar amps of his own making. One of his first products was the Quilter Sound Thing. That's what it was called. This was like
that's
the
a good
60s,
name.
There, I think we do have some, I don't know exactly the link out on our site, but I think you can look up some history on that. We actually have a lot of history at QSC there. The other interesting point, if anyone's listening to this broadcast that is familiar with the original DSP products out there, like Media Matrix and PV products, the very same team that designed a lot of that now works for QSC. So we have some of the inventors of the original form of digital signal processing as we know it in the audiovisual space, with being able to do drag and drop design and link those designs together with virtual wiring. Those people are now at QSC, and they're continuing to innovate. And those are the very same people who came up with our software-based DSP platform and our next-generation networked audio protocol that we call QLAN. So that's a lot of legacy history here from our industry. A lot of great people.
I'm going to ask, so generation two of, I'm sorry, one more time, is the Core 103?
The Core 110F is the official product name, and it's our one rack space digital signal processor.
So generation two, if that ever exists, Core 110F, is going to be called the TJ Adam Sound Thing?
Well, I don't think that rolls off the tongue quite as well as the other. But I think we do have a museum link you could go up and look at. There's some funny stuff out there.
I'll have to check that
out. And Johnny,
out.
You live in LA area, right? So you should come visit me. I'll be out there on the 20th through the 28th. And personal invite, you should come down and you can see all that cool stuff and have a little tour of the factory if you're into
Just going to take a little note here. I actually don't live anywhere near LA except that I'm in California. So that's roughly near. It's like 8 to 10 hour drive, but it's an hour flight.
Oh, darn it.
Well, it's only like an hour flight, just enough time to get up and then back down. But the 28th, I'll see if I...
The 20th through the 28th, I'm actually there across the weekend visiting my daughter who's in the Navy. She's an engineer in the Navy working on a boat.
28th. It's not that long of a drive. I'll do it.
Sorry, I thought you were in the Southern California area, but you're up north.
Nah, I'm farther north in out of the smog area, just past the Golden Gate, into the heart of wine country. It's really horrible here.
Oh, man.
I know.
I I'd be such a lush if I lived where you did. And all I do is go drink wine. I love wine.
You know, growing up here, I'm not that big into wine. I don't hate it, but you'd think I'd be into it more than I am. I mean, I'm just, everyone I know has ever worked for a winery or owns wineries and their families own wineries. And
like enough of wine already. I want some beer. You're a hard liquor kind of guy, aren't you?
I mean, I can be. I actually don't drink anymore. I used to drink, but it was more of an ale guy. That's me. You know, we have Bear Republic, we have Russian River, we have actually a lot of really good stuff, and there are a lot of good stuff in Southern California.
I drank my way around the Bay Area,
Lagunitas. Yeah, it's all here, man. But there's also really good wine too, so I guess I can't really complain. I'd love to come check it out. I honestly would.
Well, yeah, I'm down there all the time, so if we can ever make it work, you know, it would be a fun time, I'm sure, if you're interested in all that history. There's a lot of cool, we have a lot of that stuff in our little mini museum, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. That was the part of the show called What's Johnny Doing Next Weekend? and now back to our regular show. But before we get there, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Ingram Micro. I mentioned them at the beginning. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, we had Sennheiser on the show, we had Onkyo, things like that. They're over at ingrammicro.com. From the world's largest technology distributor, they are delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. A little tongue-tied there, but head over to ingrammicro.com and you can check out the products they have to offer to you if you're an integrator or maybe you're just big into audio. I know that prior to our show recording, we talked about a pretty cool application that maybe later in the end of the year we can talk about, have you back on the show, we can talk a bit more about where QSC is headed. Is there any unique applications that you can talk about maybe?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, you know, we've done a lot of really cool, I don't know, let's call it fun audio.
Sure.
You know, I always used to joke when I worked in the more meeting room space, and that was 90% of what I dealt with, that we did boring audio,
like boring,
you know,
audio.
conference room audio. I mean, come on, it's, you know, I don't mean to disparage it too much, but you know, it's not like cool, fancy, you know, high end, crazy stuff that you would see like at, you know, a theme park. But I tell you, I just visited one down in Orlando that's a customer of ours, and went through. And I have to be a little careful. I don't know how much I can put it out there publicly.
We'll just call them Wally World.
It was Wally World, and it was a really cool ride based on this really cool movie series with robots that turn into other things.
Sweet.
So I'll leave it at that. But it was a specific ride that was themed on that concept. So I've been cryptic enough? I don't know. I hope so. But let's put it this way.
We'll call them the GoBots.
It was one of the badass, most crazy audio system and video systems I've ever seen, and our product was running in it. And, you know, what really struck me, again, being, you know, less informed, frankly, about that industry, that segment of our industry, is just how inventive people can be and dream up things and tie all these products together in a way that you lose sight of the technology. When you're sitting in that ride seat and you're got those 3D glasses on, you really feel like you're immersed in that world that they're generating, and you know, a lot of that's the soundscape, if you will, that they're doing. So, you know, QSIS is in jobs like that, and soon it'll be in what I was joking, boring audio jobs, I guess, where you're, you know, you got your suit and tie on, and you're talking about, you know, financials or whatever in a boardroom. So we do it all. But it's still the same technology, and I find a lifelong passion with audio. It's just really fun to be involved with this. I pinch myself almost every day that I'm working in this industry and that I get to work with the audio I love. So it's really great.
I think that is great. I also think that if you deploy a solution correctly, or if you've done your job correctly, again, no one's really even going to know that you did much of anything at all. And it's kind of, I'm just touching on, like, you know, when you, like you said, you know, you go to watch this movie or you go to this theme park and all these systems are deployed and you kind of don't really focus on the technology. It's kind of behind the scenes. You're more focused on the experience. That's great because you shouldn't really have to pay attention, you know, like, you don't want to hear bad audio, one, right? Nor do you want to see, like, pixelated video and things like that. It's more about the experience, and if you've done it right, then that's great. No one really knows what's going on in the background, they shouldn't. It's more about the experience.
Yeah, we all know when it's crap, but it's really hard to know when it's really great. And I think that you hit the nail on the head, Johnny. It's when it all kind of falls to the background, and you're immersed in whatever it is, and that actually does happen in the boardroom too. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen enough. You know, a lot of meetings are inhibited by flaws in that design, or flaws in the audio quality, or the workflow. And so we're trying to really think about that, and not just geek out on technology, but do it for technology's sake. We really want to solve business problems, and you know, make that user forget about us, frankly.
And that's why we are rethinking QSC, or is it rethink QSC? Rethink QSC.
That's right. Rethink QSC, rethink DSP.
Rethink QSC and rethink DSP. Now, I have a kind of a unique application that you're probably aware of, I had to guess. It's here in California. It was deployed, I don't know, a couple months back. Little company called James Loudspeaker in the heart of Napa Valley.
Oh, yeah.
They built a really cool theater that I get to walk over because I'm like two blocks from them. And I also sell their products, but that's neither here nor there. Their new theater is doing not Dolby Atmos, I'm sorry. It is, oh, wow. He's going to get mad because I just had the inventor of it on the show. Wilfred
right?
Van Balen. He is the creator and CEO of, it's slipping my mind. If any listeners out there, go ahead and chime in and tell me I'm doing it wrong. What's it?
Time to Google it, Johnny.
I can't Google it, man. It's the competitor to Dolby Atmos, and it is...
NBA?
No. Aura 3D, sorry. Aura 3D. Sorry, Wilfred. I had a little goof there in my brain lapse.
But it's positional spatial audio, I assume.
Correct. 3D, yeah, and again, I'm saying it wrong. It's not quite object-oriented sound-based, but it's three-leveled audio. So you have your typical left, center, right, sides, rear surrounds, and then like a mid-height level, if you will, height level version of all of that. And then you have the third layer, which is the voice of God that creates, because sound is all reflections, right? So when we're out in the real world, you know, audio bounces around the room. It bounces off buildings, it bounces off glass, off the floor, and they are trying to recreate that experience with that three-layer or three-tiered of audio, you know? And it's all being run by QSC's products, a new product, and I didn't get the model numbers because they didn't really let me peek that well into it, but the rack is stacked with QSC new amplifiers, and I didn't really get...
That's very cool.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's a new product offering, so that's why...
Is it the Core 3100 or 1100? We just released those.
They were brand new. You know what? I'll get some pictures, and when they're not looking, I'll...
It might have been CXDQ networked amplifiers. That's a whole other category of accessory for QSIS. But I'm going to have to check that out, Johnny. That's the sad thing is, or maybe it's not sad, but there's so many projects going on that many times I don't hear of the specific details, or you know, our integrators will tell me about something really cool that, you know, I had no idea, you know, we were doing. And as a product manager, I'll leave this with you. I try to imagine what an end user or integrator will use our products for, but it never ceases to amaze me that they will always outthink me collectively. They will come up with ways to use our products that I would have never even imagined. And that's part of the fun of this too, is that, you know, you're always learning and always seeing where somebody else has invented around a baseline or a platform you've put out there, like QSIS. So
Do you ever take that information and share it with your other user base and say, you know, look what, you know, so-and-so is doing with our, you know, our software-based DSPs or anything like that, and inspire others?
Yes,
or...
absolutely. Yeah, when it's appropriate. You know, some of it, you know, is a bit of secret sauce that some of these partners of ours really, really get into.
Right.
And we're very, we're a partner, so we want to be careful about, you know, not, you know, spreading too many of the special secrets around that these various folks have invented. But But yeah, I mean, we do try to inspire others and really get our user base to think. I'll use another buzz term to make it funny. This is a joke. Think outside the box.
It's
not about the box. But seriously, it's like, you know, you got to think about other ways you can leverage a tool, right?
Right.
So, you know, and when you have a very usable freedom in that tool, you can, the sky's the limit. You can think of a lot of different applications. So,
well, at least you didn't say game changing.
I did actually on one of the other talks.
Yeah,
because I think,
was it with Corey?
Who was it?
I gave him crap.
Tim.
Oh, with Tim Albright.
It was with Tim Albright. Yeah,
game yeah. changing.
He was like, "Don't say that." I was like, "Well, you know, it kind of is. It's kind of like what Call Manager did to and Cisco did to the analog telephony world, right? You don't think about selling an analog phone switch anymore because now it's all in software. And I think, frankly, someday, hopefully, our industry will move completely to that, and it'll just be the norm again, just like it was when DSP in the old school sense became the norm and analog gear was out. Someday, it will be the norm that all the products you see out there from not just QSC, but from other competitors of QSC, I believe will eventually be software-based implementations. It's a no-brainer. It's just the way the world's going. And it just happens to be that we're ahead of that curve a little bit.
Well, I'm going to say, instead of game-changing, I'm just going to start saying change gaming. It sounds a bit more...
Change gaming?
Change gaming.
That's pretty... Game over?
Yeah, basically. Well, I think you're definitely ahead of everyone else. And to kind of make it a liking to where Apple, as I mentioned at the beginning, they are pushing others, competitors, in this case, Android, and I'm not going to say BlackBerry because that's not happening, but other people, other developers, other software-based phones, hardware, to improve. Anytime someone takes this step forward or the leap forward to be different and is successful and is change gaming the industry, others are going to follow or try and be like that to be competitive. So if anything, it is pushing the industry forward. And others are going to see, oh, you know, so-and-so is doing this, and we are still back, you know, 10 years ago, where we're just, it's all about the box, it's all about this, it's all about whatever. We have technology that allows us to do other things, and design is one of them.
That's right.
And again, it's all about the experience. So where QSC is making the experience better, in the case where, you know, this theater I'm talking about was what I like to refer to as double awesome. It's inspiring others to be similar, and if not, you know, progress what they're doing. Just like in your story, when you were at Biamp, you saw, when you ripped open the box, if you will, you saw what was inside, or actually, I guess, lack thereof, what was inside. Less hardware, more software. That created a spark in your...
Inspiring.
Right. The spark went off in your head, and you're like, why aren't we doing this?
That's right. And, you know, and it's a part, you know, hopefully, you know, QSC and frankly, myself, being a good industry citizen, I try to use that concept, is that... Like you said, hopefully others will progress, and hopefully it's good for the industry that we all move towards application-based platforms, and that will empower our users. It'll change our lives and our industry. And someday, I firmly believe it won't be about AV and IT. It'll be just the industry, because someday we will be part of that IT space holistically, completely. And we'll have our own special skills that we bring to that, you know, that your average IT-only individual or company won't have. And so we still have a place and relevance there. But, you know, it's good for the rest of the industry that we all move that way. So I hope, you know, it inspires others as they see what we're doing. And frankly, that turns back around and inspires us to be more progressive and learn and change and grow as well. So it's about being a good industry citizen, both as a company and also as individuals in our space.
In terms of, we'll go back to the AV-IT convergence. That's a term that, I, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's been back and forth the last 10 years and things like that. And kind of didn't really hear that until a few years back, and I know it's been going on longer, but even when I first heard it, I'm like, what's this convergence nonsense? Like, you know, we're integrators. You know, we are technology integrators. Why is there a convergence? If you're one or the other, I get it, but it's more common now that as an integrator, you shouldn't just be, you know, an AV integrator or an IT integrator. It's technology that your integration isn't just one-sided solutions. It's integration of multiple technologies.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of rattle going on about all that stuff, right?
Right.
And it, but I think it's funny that really the AV products, many of them were some of the first Internet of Things. You know, it's funny, last Infocom here, I saw a whole talk on the Internet of Things. You know, there's been a lot of, again, a lot of rattling going on about that. And I think we've already been there largely.
We have been.
That concept.
Very much so.
And, you know, so we're in a lot of ways, as much as we aspire to reach this IT audience and we try to think of ways we can talk and connect with them better, we can't also forget our own value that we will always have, which is, you know, we know audio, we know video, we know chroma, we know, you know, equalization, we know acoustics. There's a lot of skill sets that the IT space needs from us, and so we have to kind of have some self-respect as well as try to aspire to getting closer to that world.
I agree with you when you say that I think that we've already done the, you know, the Internet of Things, and now we're just calling it that now, or I guess the consumer in general is, you know, learning about IoT. And in my opinion, you know, it's never wrong. It's basically always right. IoT, no, in my opinion, it is, I think it's going to have more success. Or when someone says IoT, I think what people think is consumer grade, or what I like to refer to as consumer grade entry level devices that allows a general consumer to connect to something via mobile platform. And I think that's in its most basic form when someone says the buzzword IoT. Okay, well, that's like a smart bulb that I can put in my house and turn on for my phone. Or
That's a great definition. I like that. Very concise. Probably one of the better ones I've heard, Johnny.
Well, thank you. But because what, and to go back what you said, you know, I'm assuming you went to the IoT keynote at Infocom.
I did, briefly. I didn't make the whole thing.
You didn't miss much. I'll sum it up for you. The quote was, we as an industry, you know, we are not doing IoT. It's not part of our industry, but we need to capitalize on it. And that's what the whole thing was about. And I honestly agree in that IoT isn't, or what people, when they hear the buzzword IoT, is not really in the commercial field. It's more on the consumer side or
right.
home
little
side.
Widgets and...
Right, little things, you know, oh, look, you know, this thing is connected to the internet. I have an app for that.
Yeah, your thermostat or, you know, I have a fancy thermostat in my house here we just moved into, and I can come log into it online and change settings or schedule things. Yeah.
Right, but when I think of what IoT was before the buzzword that we all know now as the Internet of Things... it's all our devices that, you know, in a network or, you know, on the network, if you will, that have been connected, that allows the IT manager or the integrator in this case to remotely monitor and control these devices. And it
right.
wasn't necessarily about the control for the end user necessarily. But now that the word IoT or the Internet of Things in largely is part more the consumer has control of these little widgets, like you said.
Yeah, and maybe I guess I could see that shifting into our space a little more. I think that's another good point you made there, and I hadn't thought of it quite that way, is that it's getting closer to, again, that terrible term end user, but
right.
that CIO or that marketing manager that walks into the room, it's a person, right? It's getting closer to those people who are not thinking about the technology, but... And maybe it's closely coupled to the bring your own device stuff too, like another term that's been floating around
BYOD.
More out there.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, you know, why do I have to use that thing you have installed on the desktop that's only doing one function when I have this really powerful processing phone in my pocket, and I just want to just connect to the room and change things or whatever. So maybe that's a really good insight that you pointed out there.
Well, maybe this is where rethinking DSP or Rethink DSP is a good push into the commercialized version of IoT, because it's
app-based processing,
right? Why couldn't it be the first step into that on the commercial side? Because I honestly don't feel that the commercial market is using IoT in the way that the consumer thinks of IoT.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point.
And that,
and I'm going to have to do some more thinking about that as well as I manage our products going forward. That's a interesting thought you've left me with there, Johnny.
Well, I'll end on a good note then. unless there's anything else you'd like to mention, I think that that's a good place to start, because I'd like to have you back in the future when you can talk about Brand X theme park from the future, of the cool stuff that you'd visited recently in Florlando.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad to have been on here, and I'm always open to getting on your show again, Johnny, so thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, everyone. As I mentioned, if you want to learn more about the products, just head over to QSC.com. But if you're actually interested in being educated thoroughly, head over to the QSCtraining.com website, where all the information that we kind of talked about or you want to learn more about or have access to is all there for you. If you're a social person like myself, you can check out QSC Systems at the following brands, social brands, if you will. Facebook is going to be facebook.com/ QSC Audio Products. If you're more of a business professional, you can find them and TJ most likely at LinkedIn.com.
That's right.
If you're a Twitter person and you like only 140 characters at a time, you probably just search the hashtag Rethink QSC or Rethink DSP, but it would just be at QSC. Give them a tweet. If you like watching videos and you maybe you want to just see a few demonstrations first, go over to youtube.com/user/ QSC Audio Products. If you like images, go to Instagram, instagram.com/ QSC Audio. If you like pinning things like, I don't know, wedding dresses and things like that, or maybe audio products, go to Pinterest.com, and they are there as well. Or maybe you're a Google boy like myself. They're on the Google Plus. And if you want to shout at me in 140 characters or less, should Twitter still exist tomorrow, my Twitter handle is at jmota3. My personal email I will give to you as long as you don't send me any crappy emails about cats. I'm not a fan of cats. I don't like cats. They love me. I'll say that. It's weird. I'm allergic to them. They're probably great people, but I'm highly allergic to them. It's Johnny, JohnnyMota, 3 at gmail.com. I love Google, so that's why I have a Gmail account. And I'm on Facebook. I'm on all the other stuff. Instagram, at jmota3. And others. TJ, if anyone wants to reach out to QSC or you directly have questions, what's the best way to do it?
You know, look me up on LinkedIn. I have all my contact details, including my mobile and office line out there. And I do a lot of networking out there. And I'm always in love with the idea of talking with customers and getting your input. And just call me or drop me an email anytime.
Thank you very much, TJ. And check out some of the other shows on the Rave Radio Network, everyone. I'm a co-host on one called AV Power Up. My friends over there are awesome, only because they talk to me, so I'll call them awesome. And there's some other ones with Gary's Rants and Raves. We talk about the industry, and we have a couple of good ones coming up that I can't mention yet, but you can find them at ravepups.com. And until next time, everyone, this has been AV Insider. I'm your host, Johnny Mota. TJ, thank you for joining us on the show, and I do hope to talk with you soon in the future. And hopefully we won't be rethinking DSPs, but we will be rethinking technology by that point.
That's right. We've got to move forward. Great having me on here. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.